AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
Can you really compartmentalize his earning career from what happened afterwards and just talk about his earning career as if nothing else ever happened? I don't think you can.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Renault is powering our drive around Dublin today in the stylish new hybrid SUV, the Austral. The Austral not only kicks out 200 horsepower, but it is also packed with innovative and intuitive tech. Check this out. Hey Google, we need directions to the Aviva Stadium. And the Aviva is where we are headed to go collect Irish international and Leinster legend Devon Toner for a spin around town and a chat about the Autumn Internationals. All 6'10" of the great man who won 280 caps for Leinster and 70 for the Irish rugby team, but he actually fits comfortably in this spacious backseat of the Austral. This is Backseat Pundits.
How has retirement treated you? Because like, we always talk about sports people, and some people really struggle without the buzz and the adrenaline of a match day. And you had like so many moments during the Grand Slam and Chicago Field Part 1, of course.
I know, Chicago.
Yeah. I suppose the way the career ended for Ireland was the start of COVID, wasn't it? And so it was
Kind of the start of COVID. Didn't get into the 29 World Cup squad, but then when World Cup squad, and then the next Six Nations, Andy's first Six Nations, he brought me back into the squad.
Yeah.
So then I got three more caps.
Yes.
And then COVID hit, and then I didn't get back in after COVID.
Yeah.
So my last Ireland game was 2020.
Life under Andy Farrell, right? Everyone talks about how amazing he is as a head coach. You got a little taste of it.
Yeah.
What's he like?
He's what everyone says.
Everyone
says. He's just so liked by everyone.
Yeah.
You know, he's very personable. He really shows that he cares about people as well, and they're about them and their situation, their families, their like everything around them. So he really knows that everything needs to be in place to encompass a good, like good preparation and getting everyone on the same hymn sheet. So you can really tell that he cares, like, to be honest.
Nice to drive around these parts.
We're
trying to just distract ourselves here from the inevitable of reviewing this game, aren't we?
Soldier
Field 2.0 without Devon Toner, this is what happens. 26-13 for New Zealand. Very similar score to last year in Dublin.
What
you make of this, Dev? Because we were talking about it earlier today ourselves. It's like, one week looking for an hour, Ireland were great, and haven't played for a while. And then the other side of the last 20 minutes blown away. What side are you on?
I'm kind of on both sides. I'm on both sides because like there was 60 minutes of a really good performance. Like when Ty got the red card, they kind of really dug deep. They got back up. They attacked really well. Obviously, Ty got over for that try, and it felt like we were really kind of humming. You know, for the first 60 minutes, it was really good, and we kind of really dig deep. To obviously, because we're down 14 men for 20 minutes. But then, as you say, it's just that 20 minutes. And like for New Zealand, if there's any team that you just need to keep the foot on the pedal, it's them. We've learned in 2013, we've learned so many times that if you stop attacking and try and kind of rest back a bit, they're going to attack you, and all they need is that split second where they're going to get through and score, you know, like, and they did it, you know. And then once, like, rugby's a huge momentum sport. Once one team gets a bit of momentum, it just keeps snowballing, and they manage to do it, and that's one thing they're just so good at.
So at the start of the game, it was like we're pouring a line out throw, and that was kind of like the story of the game. It was like scrums and line outs in our area of the pitch. It was like really frustrating to watch.
I saw that first line out, I was like, oh no,
stop.
Because it's the first line out, because like when you're a line out caller, you want the first line out to go exactly to plan.
That's huge, is it?
Huge for your confidence. But then obviously it doesn't go to plan. Ty gets red carded, and then James Ryan starts calling. So it's kind of it messes up your flow.
Yeah.
Do you know? No matter, like, obviously everyone trains for every sort of eventuality of whatever's going to happen, and James will have trained a lot doing the calls, but at the end of the day it is going to affect you. There's no point in saying it's not, because it affects what you've been training all week. You know, so it I'm sure it did have a knock-on effect as well. Like
that red card, right?
Yeah.
what do you think of it? 2.5 minutes on the clock.
I know.
It is max. So the mitigation was, Dan Sheehan was saying, we caught that on the mic when he started with the ref, was a forward pass.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've all seen it now. Tyburn doesn't bow down.
Yeah.
Head on collision with Bowden Barrett.
Yeah.
Bowden Barrett afterwards is saying, I understand why it happened. No big deal, but upgraded to a red card in the Tyburn.
If you look at Ty, he's absorbing the hit. There's no level of danger in it. There's, like, he wasn't expecting Barrett to get the ball. And it was even a forward pass into it as well, you know. And he was expecting to go, and so he was just bracing himself. And because he's taller, Barrett's head hits his shoulder, and there was no force, nothing else. So, like, how it was a red card? And I don't think I've seen one person say that it should have been a red card.
Ryan Baird moves to the second row, to your old place.
Yeah.
And he, it's weird because Ireland's lineout was poor, but then Ryan Baird himself seemed to have a decent game.
Yeah. Baird, he played really well. Do you know, he adapted to whatever needed of him. He got two great steals. He got one steal on the 5 meter line. As I said, I was on Saturday talking about him, and it was like, he's so springy. He's like Peter O'Mahony, where he's just really explosive, and he's an athlete. Do you know what I mean? And he's kind of adapted to what was needed of him. And then obviously when Hendy came on, he went back to six. Like, it was great seeing Hendy back involved. I'm always a big Hendy fan.
Yeah.
But the lineup was obviously creaking. Do you know, I think we threw it in the same spot to our, and we tried the same movement a couple of times, and it got picked off. And obviously, Paulie is not going to be happy.
That's the thing, isn't it?
But it's just because I thought first lineup as well. Once the first one goes bad, you always have a bad feeling. Like,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's difficult for you to, like, be critical of ex-teammates, particularly someone like Paul O'Connell, who I think for 2.5 years you were learning off, second row off the line-out cause, and that helped you develop your game. But do you think it's fair that the line-out comes under scrutiny with Paul O'Connell overseeing it?
I think everyone comes under scrutiny.
Yeah.
It's not just Paulie.
No.
Do you know? And I'm sure, like, he is very diligent in everything around what the moves are using, the lifts, the training, but when it comes down to it, the players are responsible for it on the day. Do you know what I mean? It's only so good having such a good plan.
Yeah.
If the players don't execute on it, like, it's nothing got to do with Paulie. Do you know? Part of it is the movement, part of it is the throw, part of it is the jump. So, like, there's just a lineup has so many moving parts. It's so hard to nail. Do you know? It's hard to nail who's at fault. Mm. Do you know? And as I said, like, I'm an ex player playing with all these guys. I hate pointing the finger at anyone.
It's very tough, yeah.
Yeah.
Some great moments here for you, RDS.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see the new stand. I walked by it going to a Christmas show the other day.
Oh, yeah?
And I saw it, and it looks absolutely fantastic. But yeah, some great memories.
So Tyburn goes off. It's a massive loss because you saw how good he was for Munster against Leinster. Like, he was the best player in the pitch.
Brilliant.
Like, yeah.
He's obviously one of Ireland's best players.
Totally.
Huge.
You're thinking, oh, geez, we could be in trouble here big time. Because as you said, the lineout doesn't start pretty well. It's only 2.5 minutes in the clock.
Yeah.
So Ryan Byrne moves into Tyburn's position. Ian Henderson comes on.
Yeah.
But in the 20 minutes overall, when we're down to 14 men, we scored 10 points. 10 of our 13 points are scored with the man down.
I know. We dug deep. Galvanized you as a team a little bit sometimes when it's a yellow or red card. I remember we did it in South Africa in 2016. When CJ Sandler got a red card, we kind of dug deep and you kind of go into your reserves a bit. But we obviously did that, and we scored 10 points and we kind of got on top of them. But then on the kind of 60 minute mark, we just kind of took the foot off the pedal.
Mm. So we're 10-0 up, right? And then there's that key moment right after Tyke Furlong scores the try. So this is great. That was fantastic. Mm. Wait till we get 15 back. And then New Zealand go and do a New Zealand on it. Like, Ardie Savea's try is brutal. What are you thinking at that point?
What am I thinking? Anytime they start clicking,
you can curse. Sorry.
Anytime they start clicking, you're like, oh fuck, they're back. They're coming back into it now. Do you know, and I said on Saturday before the game, I was like, the one thing with New Zealand is discipline. Do you know, you can't be giving away penalties, yeah, and you can't be giving away stupid stuff, and you can't be letting them back into it, because as soon as they get back into it, and as I said before, you can't take your foot off the accelerator. You need to start attacking. Like,
do you know, you said that, right? And I was like, all your caps for Ireland, it's 70, isn't it?
70,
total,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you would say to yourself nearly every game, whether it's you know, a non-tier one country are the best, you'll never take your foot off the gas. What is it different about the All Blacks that you just can't? You can't relent.
It's just that they've proved time and time and time again that they have the players, they have the skill, they have the team, they have everything that they need to capitalize on a mistake.
Right.
Do you know?
That's a good way of putting it, actually, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, everyone has such a good skill set. Everyone, like, all the backs are rapid fast. Everyone, and I said it, they've proved it. If you make a mistake, if you drop a ball, they're going to capitalize, they're going to pounce on it, and they're probably going to score. And they've proved it, do you know? So, like, they prove it time and time again. Do you know? Anytime South Africa have got a good score against them, or anytime they've lost, they've had discipline. They've not given away penalties. They're not giving away super balls, do you know?
Can you enjoy this area now that you're retired? This is we're coming up to Slattery's here.
Yeah.
It's a great option before a game. Maybe not for you, if you don't want to get recognised.
Mainly juniors. The sandwiches and juniors is where
oh,
I go.
Oh, man, amazing.
Juniors has been a mainstay of this area for 20 years.
Andy Farrell talked about it afterwards, subsequently, about that third quarter, right? So from the 40th to the 60th minute in the second half, where I think the consensus has been, I don't know what you think yourself, maybe you disagree with this, that Ireland were decent, they were slightly dominant, but they didn't take advantage of that. It's just 3 points scored. In fact, that is the last score that Ireland have. Jack Crowley misses a penalty about 8 minutes into the second half. Then a few minutes later, he gets the penalty. That would be Ireland's 13 points, and that's it.
Yeah. And look, there's positives to take from it as well. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, like, so obviously, Kaelin came on, and his first carry was brilliant. Do you know? Like, he hasn't played in so long. To be able to make an impact like that was brilliant. Yeah. To see him back, I'm sure obviously they didn't consider that he was going to have to play as much. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But he came on and he played very well. So it's great to see him back. There is positives from, like, a lot of people. Like, I think Stu McCluskey played a great game.
He was excellent.
Maybe he tried to push the offload a little bit, maybe.
Did you think that? I was, from my point, from very much like the outside looking in, I was like, just, I admire his ambition.
No,
here,
absolutely.
There was a few off when he was trying,
He was. He had a lot of ambition. And he's such a physical player. And he was able to get over the game. And I'm delighted for him, do you know? Because he's been around the setup like 9 years, I think.
He's 33.
Yeah, something like that.
It was his first game against the All Blacks.
And he played brilliantly. I think Jemison had a good game. I think like there's like a lot of positives to take from it, do you know?
Would you say, knowing that group pretty well, would there have been, not finger pointing necessarily, but a lot of home truths afterwards?
There won't be finger pointing. Well, like, there obviously will be going through the
accountability more than the finger pointing.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll be going through the video and they'll be going through what should have happened and who should have done what, do you know?
But will they be angry, or will they be, you know, like, what would the prominent emotion be there after that game?
I'm not sure. Will it be anger? Well, probably, like, the players will be angry with themselves, you know? There's no point in not saying it, you know? So, like, I think everyone who was at fault for anything, they always put their hand up. They always say, that was me, I should have done better, whatever. Like, and like, it's always going to happen, you know? They played really well for 60 minutes. They nearly pulled it. Well, they didn't pull it out of the bag. Obviously, it was the 20 minutes that killed them. They're not too far away. And it's just little things.
Would you read, like, player ratings about in a game that you were involved in and things like that?
Yeah. You'd be lying if you said you didn't.
what are you looking for there, though?
If you played a good game, or if you thought you played a good game, then other people thought about it as well. Do you know?
Right.
Like, you want to be proud of your performance.
Okay.
Do you know? But I think if you know you didn't perform well,
you're not reading.
And you know you didn't. I'd stay away from it. Absolutely.
But
stay away from
it. But is it not like not heartbreaking? But you know, say you thought you played well, right?
Yeah.
And then you read the ratings and they disagree.
Five, or you get a five or something.
then you're crestfallen.
Yeah, true. Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
100%. Whereas if you thought, oh, I just stinker there.
Yeah.
Oh no, your man doesn't think so at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Maybe I'm doing better than I expected.
I think they very rarely happen. Do you know? So I think if you as a player think you played well,
yeah.
You probably played a lot better in other people's eyes.
Yeah, I get you.
So you're always your own worst critic.
What's your prediction for the rest of the November series? We have Japan, Australia, South Africa.
Yeah. I think I said it before, like, it's not... I don't think success can be looked at through the results. I think it's more the performance.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, obviously, we're expecting, hopefully, getting a win against Japan. expecting, hopefully, getting a win against Australia. South Africa, obviously the best team in the world at the minute. I think a good performance against them will be sufficient to have a successful autumn.
Yeah.
We might as well come up short. We would love to obviously win it, but it depends on the nature of if we lose and how much we lose by it, and yeah. How good the performance is. Do you know, like, if we get dominated and we're physically behind them and they score a good few more than us, then some fingers will have to be pointed, like, you know.
Well, to think about what's coming next, right? So it's Japan coming to town this coming Saturday. Eddie Jones. Mm. You're always like, there's a bit of fear factor when it comes to any Eddie Jones side, but he has Japan playing a certain style that it can be very dangerous to the opposition.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah. I think...
How do you deal with that, with speed?
That's what we've been trying to do over that. Like, obviously, with Jemison as our nine, he's so quick at the base of a ruck to get the ball out. It's brilliant. And I think Japan are trying to get, I think, just quick and quick and quicker. Do you know what I mean? And that's their kind of game plan of trying to wear teams down. Like, but in order for that to happen, you need quick ruck ball, you know? So I think if we go after their ball at ruck time, it just slows them down. Do you know what I mean? So you think you need your if Tyg is playing, if Josh Van der Vliet is playing, they're going to be going after the ball and trying to slow down as much as they can. Do you know? And if you slow that down, they slow them down.
What will Eddie Jones hate coming up against this weekend with Ireland? Because, like, you talk about the personnel and all that, and it was like, well, of course, Ireland and their day can beat anyone, but, like, Eddie Jones specifically, with what he's trying to do with Japan, what does he not want Ireland to do?
He does not want Tyg Byrne and Josh Van der Vliet going over the ball.
Right.
I think, like, any time we played against Tyg, whether it was first off for Scarlets, when then it was, and then it was Munster, we would be targeting him and his headgear, do you know? And you just need to get there before him and get in quick and early and low.
Yeah,
you know?
I getcha.
So I think he's going to hate seeing him anywhere near the ball.
Right.
And he just needs to get him off the ball, basically. So he's obviously relying on quick ruck ball for their gameplay, their strategy. Like.
Is there any danger here that we're underestimating Japan, that we're seeing this as a gimme win and then we're already focusing on Australia and South Africa?
There's always absolutely a chance, like I said, they obviously didn't go very well against South Africa. South Africa put in a great performance. And there's every chance that we could underestimate them, you know. Mm. But I think, particularly after losing against New Zealand, they're probably going to play a lot more starters than there would have been.
Do you think
there probably would have been a few more changes, but because we lost, there are probably more players playing the Japan game, and then there might be a few changes for Australia. You never know, you know. You never know.
No.
Like, there could have been a master plan at the start of it to play some wee people, like, and then obviously the performance of the loss would have kind of put a spanner in the works. So the team selection will be interesting.
Very interesting. It's a nice and early kickoff as well this Saturday at the Aviva.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
20-1 lunchtime kickoff against Japan.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned there, because of the All Blacks defeat, that maybe the team sheet will be a bit different. What would you like to see? What would you like to see against
Japan? I would like to see some younger players getting blooded.
Okay.
I'm a bit biased towards Tom Farrell, but I think he deserves a cap.
He's been really
absolutely deserves a cap.
Pretty much his whole time at Munster, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So he went to Castlemore College, same as I did.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
And he's been phenomenal, you know. So I'd love to see him get a cap. I think I'd like to see Paddy McCarthy get a start.
He did well when he came on, didn't he?
Yeah. Obviously felt bad the first scrum came on. It was a penalty. I don't know, was it deserved or not?
Like, this Japan game, it's actually huge, right? Because when we're talking about the 2027 World Cup, what people are probably lamenting at the moment is the age profile. So I've heard it constantly. Age profile is, you know, if we can't do it now against the All Blacks, what chance do we have in 2 years' time?
Yeah.
But then people are saying, well, who do we have to come in for all these starters? Yeah. But that's where the Japan game comes in, isn't it? Because it's like, well, that's when you can experiment.
Yeah. Like, there's a couple of young back rowers, isn't there? Like, I think, is it Keane Prendergast?
At Connacht,
He's in the squad. I think he'd be great.
You want to see Cormac Isatuku too, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, yeah.
And if Brian Gleeson was fit, he's the elbow injury he sustained against Leinster.
Absolutely.
So then suddenly you're kind of, and Edwin Adogbo has a HIA.
Yeah.
So suddenly then, if I'm talking about forwards in general here, if all of those are fit and available, it was well, actually the future is kind of exciting for Ireland.
Sorry, Nick Timoney
what does he have to do?
What does he have to do to get a game as well? He's phenomenal as well, do you know? He's very much deserving of it. But, like, you could go through the whole squad and say that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're in the wider squad for a reason, but it's up to Andy, obviously, to to make the call, and up until now it's kind of worked, you know. So
is there a danger with that danger, right? But is there kind of a frustration with the Japan game, right, that no matter what we do, if we play well and win comfortably, that there'll be a, from the public perspective, a bit of a shrug of the shoulders, being like, okay, so what, because they'll go back to the New Zealand game.
I think it's the block as a whole that we're going to be judging people on, and judging the coaches on. So I think it's expecting to win Japan, I suppose, and then obviously coming into Australia and South Africa is judging the performance then, yeah, to be honest.
Has Ireland peaked under Andy Farrell?
No, I don't think so at all. No, it's so hard. It's such a hard question to answer because teams are so evolving all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people are coming out and going in all the time. And it is obviously, this batch is coming up to the next World Cup, and it's, so I think it's such a hard question to answer because of the amount of people that are coming in and out of the squad, do you know?
Okay. Just don't know it until a few years' time.
No, you don't. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, like, oh, look over my entire career. It's hard to say, did we ever peak or was there a peak or, do you know, like...
It was 2018, though, people say, don't they?
2018 was brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Grand Slam. Going out to Australia, win that series, beat New Zealand in home soil for the first time.
Yeah, but
that's amazing.
But then we won the Six Nations in 14 and 15. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then after that, we had a lot of retirees, and then we kind of got back up again. So it's different. There's different teams and different years, and do you know what I mean? So like, it's so hard to say.
Yeah, you see, that's an annoyingly balanced way to look at it, because I think we all just want an answer. Right?
Everyone wants an answer.
Dave, what's going on?
There isn't an answer. That's the thing, though.
I'm sure if we all had it, we'd be doing it. Like. Yeah.
Fighter now?
In
Ireland. I love this underpass.
I walked down like this.
It's some stadium, isn't it? What's it like to play in?
It's class. Obviously, it's the home of Irish rugby, and you're kind of very emotional as well, like, because I had my debut here, so it's brilliant. Like, obviously, you know your friends and family, and the thing is, when you're playing as well, you know where your family are sitting, so like, when you're in the anthem, like, you can look up and see them. And you obviously get given a nod, so it's even more emotional because you can see where they are. Like, so.
Did you use that emotion to your benefit? Like, or was that
absolutely
distracting?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So Japan this weekend, 20th one.
Yeah, well, like, hopefully it's going to be a full, but because of the kickoff time, hopefully we'll get a good crowd at it. It's pretty ideal to get some kind of young, like the young kids involved and stuff, and like, come down and watch it. Like, but look, it's going to be, hopefully it'll be a great game. As we said, like, there'll be, originally we were hoping there were going to be like blood some new lads, but it might be a more experienced team now. But hopefully we'll be able to get a good performance.
How do you think it's going to go?
I think we're going to win. I think we're going to get a good few tries. But as I said, I just really hope that the performance is good as well. That we don't kind of take the foot off, and we kind of get a good defence, get our kind of discipline under wraps as well. So
you're going to love this when I ask you for a specific score prediction. You love these things.
I love them.
What are we saying here? Right, we're coming out mid-Saturday afternoon.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go a good score. I'm going to go 38-12.
38-12 to Ireland.
To Ireland.
Lovely stuff. Thanks again for
going. Cheers.
Nice one. The best. Take it easy.
Make sure you stay tuned to Off the Ball for all of our coverage of a packed rugby season. And a massive thank you, of course, to Renault for sponsoring this series. And check out their new series of hybrid powertrain vehicles. There's the Austral, the Captur, and the Symbios. The Renault range is reliable and comes with a 5-year warranty.